Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just whisper his name. Come on. Somebody's been at work and you've had to do just that. Whisper his name. Savior. Call him Savior. Savior, Savior. Thank you for saving my life. Your name is Jesus. Come on. Now, y'all quit looking at me and let's stand together and do this. Say, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
Everybody call on Jesus. What's the Lord's name?
Jesus.
Now, if you really love him, just call his name. Say, Jesus. Me up this morning,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
You started me on my way.
Jesus, Jesus.
You put bread on my table, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, let's call his name. I feel like somebody gonna feel better the more you call him.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus,
you died for me, Jesus. For me, come on, let's call him Jesus, Jesus. You rock me to sleep at night.
Jesus,
you're my joy in sorrow. I know you'll be my hope for tomorrow. Come on, let's call his name, church. Don't play with it. Let's call him. Say, Jesus. You keep on blessing me.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
What I know, you taught me.
Jesus.
Where I'm going, you're gonna take me. Thank you, Jesus. And where I am, you brought me, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
I know you're able to heal, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
You are. Somebody's calling on you today. Touch somebody's child today. Touch somebody's marriage today, Jesus. Somebody dealing with sickness, you call on Jesus. Oh, hear my body, Jesus. Regulate my mind, the Lord. Now if you believe he's going to do it, just say thank you, thank you. Now if you don't expect him to do it, don't say it. But for the rest of us who believe God to be God, thank you, Jesus. Your name. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. Father, thank you for let us call on Jesus. You gave us Jesus while we were yet in our sins. Hallelujah. You gave us Jesus. And God, I'm standing here with a body of believers because you gave us Jesus, who've been blood washed in the blood of the Lamb. God, I ask that as we move in this moment, that you would be with us. You just keep right on having your way. Speak, oh God. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, Lord, we don't know what to do. It's in your name we do pray and give thanks. Amen. As you go down to your seats, just say his name. Say his name. Come on, say Jesus. Jesus. How grateful we are to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day doing the Lord's work. I want to rush and give God honor and praise and thanks for our great and esteemed pastor. Can we celebrate the Reverend Dr. D.Z. Cofield? I don't like that. Can we do a little bit better for our pastor? Amen. Amen. I am grateful for this opportunity. Love you, man. Respect to you. Love to the pastor. Most of us can remember the dreams that we had when we were children. When we would talk endlessly about the life we wanted to live. You remember those days? We were talking about life before we even got started in life. Those dreams that were full of hope and ambition. So many possibilities. We imagined that the future was full of all of our limitless imagination. We could do anything because it seemed like it was achievable. Can't you hear the child in you saying, when I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor, a lawyer, firefighter, teacher, and in my case, a preacher. None of us began life wishing anything less than the best of what we could imagine. We didn't have distorted dreams as children. And even now, if you have not fully realized those dreams or fulfilled those dreams, there's still a life that some of us, a lot of us, are longing for. But here's a thought, church. As you navigate life, have you ever stopped to ask yourself, besides the life that you've always dreamed for, there might be a life that God has always wanted me to have. A life greater than you can imagine. A life that aligns with the purpose of God, and one that fulfills not only me, but others as well. It's a life that's not defined by limitations that we place on ourselves or others that place on us, but it's in the limitless power of God. So today, ask yourself, church, what if God's plan for me is greater than the dreams I've carried for so long? And with that thought, that's what I want to talk about today. How to live the life that God has always wanted you to have. How to live the life that God has always wanted you to have. Wanted for you to have. Ask for your prayers. It's been a long week, busy week. Satan has been busy. And my body is weak, but my spirit is willing. And so we run on in Jesus' name. First thing I want to tell you is that you must accept the Savior that God has given to you. Here in our text today, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. Watch what the scripture says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Church, here in this passage of scripture, we are intentionally guided by the penmanship and the lens of the Apostle Paul, who continues to give correspondence to the church at Corinth. Paul, in this particular passage, is writing to this young and inexperienced church so that he might educate, edify, and encourage them, number one, to maintain hope in their heavenly home. And that's why he tells them, for we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle should be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made by hands, but it is eternal in the heavens. Then Paul gives them a blessed assurance. He then tells them to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul wanted these believers to be sure about their journey away from earth to heaven. Then Paul continues this discourse and arrives at our selected scriptures for today, and he shifts their attention from future glory so that they can focus on their present reality of how God has transformed them, and how Christ, the Redeemer, at Calvary's cross has brought them back into the family of God. Paul then challenges them and says, you are kingdom ambassadors. And he then starts to lay down how we get there. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old thing has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Paul lets you and I know, and them as well, that before the salvific death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, in so many words, man's position towards God, the Father, was sour, hostile, distant, cold, and contentious. Man did not have good standing with God. Man was in an arguing disposition with God. And it is here where we see that the creation of God had become the enemy of God because of our rebellion towards God. towards God. Oh, child of God, all you've got to do is consider Adam. Adam was the head of the old creation. Christ is the head of the new creation, but Adam was the head of the old creation. And ever since he sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, you will discover that from that moment, we have been estranged from the following of God, the fellowship of God, and the love of God. When Adam sinned, Eve followed the snake. Adam followed Eve, and nobody followed God. Put us out of relationship with God. And ever since then, we've been trying. God has been faithful in trying to get us back on track. God, we were the enemy of God. And church, I'm so glad that we serve the God that we serve, because God, in our wrong towards him, could have decided to leave us where we were. But he decided to commend his love towards us. He could have allowed us to stay in our condition and our position and remain in that place of darkness, of ruin and despair. But because God is gracious and good, the scripture declares that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if nothing gets you excited on a Sunday morning, if nothing makes you want to run, holler, scream, or shout, it ought to be centered around giving God glory, because God has given you the Redeemer called Jesus. Oh, if nothing pushes you to come to church to give him glory and to go out in the world and be salt and light in the world, it ought to be the fact that God looked beyond your faults and he saw your needs. Matter of fact, every chance you get, you ought to bless him that Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. They stretched him wide. They hung him high. He hung his head and then he died. But that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, Jesus rose again. Matter of fact, somebody said, that's love. Paul says, because God, Jesus did what he did, we now have salvation. And it is available to anybody who comes to him in a saving faith. The Bible lets us know that we're a new creation. The old things are passed away. And behold, the new has come in. What's so significant about this church is that's what we call a conditional promise. It literally means that the promise is not received until the condition is met. The promise is that God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to give you the life he's always wanted to give you. But the condition is you've got to accept Jesus and allow him to be the leader and the Lord in your life. And this entire passage hangs on two letters and one word. If any man be in Christ. Because if we don't get your if right, we can't get you in. Let me just be blunt here. If you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior today, you are not in the family of God. You do not have right relationship with God. And unfortunately, When you close your eyes, you will not see God. Life will come to an end. And God is not going to look for nice people. Nice people don't necessarily go to heaven. And bad people don't always go to hell. What puts us in heaven with God is that we've accepted him as Lord and Savior of our lives. That's the life God wants you to live. That's the life God has always wanted for you. A life that accepts him and is transformed by him. But church, when Paul says new creations, my eyebrow jumped. I wanted to know what you mean a new creation. And I found out that when we studied this passage closely, that we got to repent for some of the bad theology we've put out. Because most times when we've quoted, preached, and taught this scripture, we've told people that God, when God saves us, he immediately changes everything about us. We've equated this scripture that because we believe in Christ, we are automatically better in our behavior. We say stuff like, I looked at my hands and my hands look new. I looked at my feet, and my feet did too. Well, I got saved, and the first thing I did was look at my hands and look at my feet, and they looked the same to me. And church, don't miss what is being said. We give people a false impression. And we set them up for failure when we communicate to a person that when they get saved, old habits, evil thoughts, lustful looks are forever gone away. And every aspect of their life is completely changed. We know that not to be true because sanctification is a process. And if at salvation everything about us was changed, we wouldn't need sanctification. I'm just in the Bible. We don't preach this type. Okay. All right. And so sanctification has been given to us because of our unrighteousness. And if we are immediately changed, why do we need it? Church, if we're honest today, all of us in here are saints with sinner problems. You don't believe me? There are some things that we shouldn't do that we still do. There are some things, some places that we shouldn't go, that we still go. And some of y'all driving this morning, there's some things we shouldn't have said. We still say. Even after we've come to know him as Savior and Lord. So this verse is not about the practice of the believer. It's about the new position of the new believer. Watch what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, in Christ. The key word in this text is in Christ. And if we're going to understand it, he's saying in Christ all things are passed away. In Christ all things have become new. So he's not talking about anything physical coming into fruition. He's talking about your spiritual and your soul man. Let me just say it like this. You can be being in Christ does not mean you're not going to be in you. As much Jesus as you have, you still got an attitude. Come on, talk to me. As much Jesus as you got, you don't speak to nobody. Folk can't stand to see you coming. You nicking and nagging about all of this and that. But that ain't dealing with your salvation. You in Christ, but you're in you. We are a new creation. And now, don't take this the wrong way. Because somebody says, oh, that's a free pass. No, it ain't. Because it's not for us to do what we please. But this is what it means. As we progress in the Christian life and on our journey with God continues to change us and transform us. Our practice and our behavior will someday reflect our position in Christ. We're a new creation, but that don't mean we don't miss the mark sometimes. And so, in the words of Brother James Cleveland, if you should see me and I'm not walking right, if you should hear me and I'm not talking right, please be patient with me. God is not through with me, but when he gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. The Bible says we're new creations, and our position with God is no longer one of hostility, but we have now devotion and affection. Jesus Christ has changed our disposition. We were once enemies with God, but now we've got new fellowship, experience, and relationship with God. And no, I did not get new hands when I came to know Jesus. But now that I have Jesus, I have fresh blood that reaches to every mountain and that flows to the lowest valley, because he died for us. Second thing, you must acknowledge that God wants you to reunite. God wants to reunite with you. God wants to reunite with you. Look at what he says in 18. All this is from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Now when Paul continues this epistle, he now begins to communicate to them about their salvation. He says, when we talk about salvation, God is the originator and he's the source behind it all. Paul shares with them and even us that as believers today, that the gift of salvation is made available because the love of God that continues to pursue and chase after us. Paul makes it clear that when it comes to salvation, we as believers did not receive it as a result of anything we've done for God, but we received it based off of what God has done for us. There was no way for us to earn it, execute it, but because God has been gracious to us, we get a chance to experience it. God allowed us to be reconciled back to him, looking beyond the fact that it was man who separated himself from God in the first place, but did not have a pathway to get back to God. And so God threw us a lifeline. God came after us in his omniscience. He knew we could not come back to him because of our state. So God took the first step. He took matters into his own hands to bring us back into the family of God and in right relationship with God. It was God who reached out to us. It was God who came looking for us. It was God who was the driving force for us. It was God who was the source of our restoration. And as he worked through us, we became his sons and daughters. He got together with Jesus and they handled the sin problem. Paul lets us know that salvation is the initiative of God, carried out by Jesus Christ. If God is the reconciler, Jesus is the redeemer. If God initiated it, it is Jesus who mediated it. If God has given us the salvation, it is Jesus who has supplied the salvation. Jesus and God worked together so that sin could not have a hold on our life. And brothers and sisters, I don't know about y'all, but I read my Bible all the time. And stuff like this makes my soul happy, because it is in this passage where we understand that it is the offended who comes to the offender and asks them to reconcile. In most cases, when somebody has done you wrong, you're not going to the offender, because in your mind, you ain't did nothing wrong. And Paul is saying to you and I that even though God ain't did no wrong and all the wrong was on us, God in his majesty and his humility walked the line to get us back in line. And I'm thankful for a God who's got majesty and humility. He'll come back and get you right where you are. He loved us when we were wrong. But he decided to make us right. Child of God, when you think about how God has declared war in the Old Testament, we ought to just thank God that he didn't declare war on us. But because he's rich in mercy, on a hill far away one Friday, instead of bringing us war, he brought us peace. He worked through Jesus the Redeemer, and he dealt with that which separated man. And oh, brothers and sisters, we were on our way to hell. Y'all don't like that type of talk. We were on our way to hell. But because God removed the barrier, we now have a right to the tree of life. And our testimony is, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Our testimony is, because he lives, all my fear is gone, because I know who holds my future. Life is worth living because Jesus lives. My testimony is, I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price this morning. Jesus has saved and changed my whole life. And if anybody should ask you just who Cameron Jenkins is, tell them that I am redeemed. Oh, brothers and sisters, I've got another testimony. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I was very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, hallelujah, you heard my despairing cry, and from the waters you lifted me. Now safe and I, what did it, Cam? Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. God, it was your love that lifted me. God is so good in his gifting to us. He no longer sees us as an enemy. He sees us as a friend. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's the life God has always wanted you to have. He wants to be reconciled with somebody today. And the idea of reconciliation actually means that two people have allowed something to get in between them, and they should have never been apart in the first place. Whatever has kept you away from God today, I wouldn't leave this place without being reunited with a loving Father. Tomorrow is not promised. And later on, the day may be a little bit too late. Third thing he tells us is you must allow God to accomplish his work through you. Paul tells him that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're making an appeal. God is making his appeal through us. And in church, what that means is that we can't stop at rejoicing because what God has done for us. We got to pick up our responsibility because of what God has done for us. Paul says, all of us who have become a part of God's family, we are now ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, God is so serious about lost souls that he's always sending somebody to go get somebody else. God is so serious about bringing folk back into the family that he don't send angels. He don't send the cherubim or the Pharisees. He sends you and me to go identify with them. He calls us to carry his message and to continue his mission. Matter of fact, church, when you are an ambassador, you don't communicate in your own name. When you are an ambassador, you don't walk in your own authority. When you are an ambassador, you don't have your own opinions and demands, because your job is to communicate what has been told and commissioned for you to do. As an ambassador, you got to realize that you are a representative for a foreign country. And I don't know if anybody's forgot it this morning, but this place is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. And if you get too comfortable with the world, you start looking like the world. But I just need about two people who say, this place is not my home. I'm traveling through on my way to heaven. And I'm sure about it this morning that one of these days, when God shall call me home, where the streets are paved with gold, where every day is like Sunday morning, and Sabbath would have no end, I'm sure that heaven is mine. Because I made Jesus mine on earth, I can go and see him in heaven. And church, I need us to get a little more intentional about telling people that God loves them so much that he sent his son to die for them. But if they refuse him, in hell they'll lift their eyes. We've got to tell a dying world that we communicate his message every chance we get. We've got to tell people that one Friday they whipped him. One Friday they beat him. They bruised him and they battered him. But early Sunday morning, I heard there was a rumbling in the grave. And from that grave, Jesus got up, not with white power and not with black power, but he got up with all power. See, that don't mean nothing to you, because I saw what he did with some power, with some power. power. He healed the sick with some power. He raised the dead with some power. He healed blinded eyes with some power. He did all manner of things, but with all power, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And the angels say, glory to his name. The angels say, glory to his name. And so I wonder today, is there anybody who's an ambassador for Jesus Christ? If you know it and you're not ashamed, won't you stand and tell somebody, get on your job, get on your job, live for him, serve him, give him the glory, give him the praise, represent his name. And if I came to tell you that ambassadors are not only messengers, but they're representatives. And so, if you're going to represent him, represent, look at somebody and say, represent. If you know you saved you, represent. If you know he healed you, represent. If you know he changed you, represent. What you scared for? If you know he claimed you, represent. If you know he kept you, represent. If you know he blessed you, represent. If you know he's never left you, get some, come on, get your shoulder in. Represent. If you know he's healed you, represent. If you know he woke you up early in the morning, started you on your way, put joy in your day. Everybody just say, represent. And if you're scared, stay you scared. But for the rest of us, he's been good. He's been kind. He saved me. He blessed me. He's kept me. He's never left me. So I'm a represent. I'm done, y'all. I didn't mean to hold you on this wise, but I came to tell you there's a legend about when Jesus died. There was an angel that stood at the gate. The angel welcomed Jesus and said, welcome back, Jesus. Welcome back, Jesus. Then the angel asked him, he said, Jesus, I got a question. I just want to know, what's the plan? If they don't work out, what's the plan? If Peter, James, and John don't work out, what's the plan? If the disciples don't work out, what's the plan? If Good Hope don't work out, what's the plan? Jesus looked at him and said, I ain't got one. And all I'm trying to tell somebody, there ain't no plan B. This is it. And if we don't do it, it won't be done. No plan B. If we don't preach it, it won't be preached. If we don't serve, they won't be served. No plan B. You all God's got, and you all the world needs. So let them use your hands. Let them use your feet and say, use me. Represent. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And if you're scared, say you're scared. But for the rest of us, he's been good. He's been kind. Yeah. It's a sad reality. Christians without joy are unattractive. And we're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. And I'm wondering if the life that God has always wanted you to have, you've really taken it for granted. God wants you to have joy, peace, love, but more often than that, he wants you to have security in his son Jesus, number one. He wants you to be reunited with God. And then he wants to use you to do stuff unimaginable. You don't have a clue just the potential God sees in you. And sometimes we go through life carrying burdens, feeling discouraged, being downtrodden, because we don't really realize the life we live in is not the life he promised. We're outside of what he promised. But when you are in Christ, even at your lowest, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you're in Christ, there's no battle that you fight alone. There's no problem you face alone. Because God is right there holding your hand. The word is true. We can't add to it and we can't take away from it. The word is true. And because it is true, I want us to make sure that we survey our hearts to make sure we're right with God. Because just because you know of God, you're around people who pray to God, you post stuff about God, that don't mean you're in Christ. Quit fooling yourself. You got whole shirts talking about God in me. He ain't in you. You ain't came to him. Quit lying. Come on, be for real. You know, we play with this too much sometimes. Oh, that's all right. No. It's not. It's black and white. We accept him and we get all the promises from him. Eternal life in him. Fulfilled purpose because of him. But when we don't, we reject him. It's not today. No, you rejected Christ. You rejected him. And all you can do is hope that the grace of God covers you till the next opportunity. I love you too much not to tell you that God loves you. And God loves you so much that he wants you to know you're not ever in spaces like this, in moments like this, by incident or accident. God wants his family back. He's already done the hard work. All he wants us to do is come back to him. Matter of fact, that very scripture talks about Jesus pleading his case through us. God pleading his case through us. It is the literal meaning of God, the Father, getting on bended knee with tears in his eyes saying, come back home. Off his throne and on his knees with tears in his eyes saying, come back. If pride is keeping, if you think I got pride because I'm the creator, I move all that out the way. I sent my only begotten son to die for you. All you got to do is accept it and watch how God does a new work in your life.